you know, the American Prince. I risk my life coming here and having my voice disguised so I could talk to your people and your platform and your followers about what really happened with that strange object that was found in the desert of Utah. So I'm excited to share this information with your community.
In a world where all right seems wrong, and wrong seems right, where am I? Why does today feel like it's the past? Is it my past life memories? Where am I? Oh, I know, right where I just started from. But haven't I done this before?
Deja vu.
And I'm the American Prince Charles III. I want to welcome you guys to a special show today. I tell you, I have been getting all sorts of emails, phone calls, texts, you name it, concerning this object that was found, this strange metal monolith that was found in the desert of Utah. And obviously, a helicopter crew that were flying over counting sheep or something like this, they spotted this unusual object. So I actually had someone to come into come into contact with some of my security detail, and that particular person said they had information on more information about it. So we dug a little deeper, you know, and come to find out this person is a very high senior official that worked with our government and has let's just say secret clearance beyond, you know, most people can understand. And we were able to take his phone call today, but we're going to disguise his voice for his security reasons and protection, and all this is entertainment, you know, and we're all going to have a great time. But I want us to talk to him, and I want us to listen to what he has to say about what was found in the desert. So that his name is simply Informant. Okay, we're going to call him the Informant. And so are you there? Are you with us today, Informant?
Yes, I am.
Very good, very good. Now, there may be a little delay because I know you called in to the council here, and I really appreciate you thinking of my council life, and Deja Vu was the only spot I could throw you in because, you know, we have a lot of the spots that have been taken. But I really appreciate you taking the time out.
Oh, that's no problem, man, because I really appreciate you just, you know, squeezing me in with your busy schedule. I understand that. But I just wanted your people of the kingdom of my castle life to understand what happened in that desert in Utah.
All right. So you're telling me that let me see if I can just bring all of the people up to speed to what's going on. Okay, so a strange metal object, which has been pretty much called a monolith, has been discovered in the Utah desert by a helicopter crew, leaving local authorities baffled. You know, is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right, so the wildlife officials, they spotted this unusual object, right, when they were out there counting sheep in a helicopter in a remote area that a lot of people don't get to quite easily. And when they spotted this 12-foot high sort of thing, this monolith of 12 foot high, skinned like, if you can imagine, for you guys don't quite understand what we're saying, it's like a bit tall pencil, skinny, round, or squared and sticking up, but it's skinny, you know, and it's about 12 feet. And the structure had been planted in the ground between Red Rock. Red Rock is very, very hard to, you know, work with and do things with and so forth. And there was no indication actually who put it there, right? So I just want you to tell us a little about yourself and who you are, and why my followers and listeners here at Deja Vu, which is an affiliation with my castle life, but Deja Vu can understand and trust what you have to say.
Very well, I have to tell you straight up. I have... most people in America are used to clearances with the government, you know, stuff like that. My clearance levels go quite deep. my clearance level, you know, a lot of people have, let me ask you, do you know of any sort of clearance levels?
Well, of course I do, because I was in the military. I know you have unclassified, classified.
Very good. Unclassified, you have classified, you have secret, top secret, compartmental, stuff like that. Well, my clearance level goes beyond that, okay? And I've worked at places a lot of people have heard of, such as Area 51, and I have people that know about that sort of thing, but they really don't even know what really went on with Area 51.
All right, so Area 51, which is, for those who are listening, they're not quite sure what Area 51 is. That's not a dance club, people, okay? We're not talking about a dance club. So, I mean, I guess it could be a dance club named Area 51 somewhere. But we're talking about a place where potentially, okay, possibly, alien aircraft or spacecraft was taken along with possible bodies. Some said they were dead, some said they were alive, taken there, and it became known as Area 51, and that's up in right out north of Las Vegas, Nevada, for those of you who don't quite know what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And you know, Area 51 was denied by our government many, many years until the accident happened where a satellite was taking pictures. They were taking pictures to map out the Earth, and unfortunately for the government, it captured Area 51, which the government denied. But when we had proof, here it is right here. These buildings, these runways, these aircrafts are sitting right there on this map that the satellite took. They could not no longer deny it.
I understand. So because of the photos that came out from the satellite coverage, they being the government, they had to actually disclose that Area 51 was original, was real, and it was not made up by the public, because what they were saying was, oh no, this is not real. Area 51 is not real. It's all imagination. It's all in your head. It is made up. This is not real. That's what our government was telling us.
Absolutely.
And okay. So with that being said, you worked at Area 51, and
I've done a lot of things, man. I just didn't work at Area 51. Some people call me Area 51. I mean, I was the man. I mean, and I was the go-to person. Now, I say I was the man, but I could be a woman. You don't know who I am. That's why I had your staff to disguise my voice, because I am always changing up my location because of what I know and what I do.
Okay. So are you safe right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm safe and I'm comfortable. That's why I'm calling you, and I wanted you to know, your people to know, what is really going on.
All right. So let's get on to what's really going on. I'm glad you're safe, and I'm just so happy that you actually gave us an opportunity here at Deja Vu to talk to you exclusively about this monolith that was discovered in the desert of Utah. So can you tell me about some of the things that we don't know? How about that? Let's start out with that.
Well, I can tell you that the airline industry will really hate me, but I'm going to tell you right now, this old technology we have for flying in the sky, are you kidding me? Man, we can get from Los Angeles to London to Australia, back up there near Seattle and back to Mississippi and hit Chicago and back to LA in less than 20 seconds if we needed to.
Oh, hold it. You're saying that we can move around? We don't have any sort of propulsion systems that even allow us to move at that speed of light. I mean, if I were to move at that speed of light, I'd probably end up being spaghetti anyway, you know, because that's really...
Well, no, hold it. I'm not talking about moving at the speed. speed of light. I'm talking about moving faster than the speed of light.
So what is faster than the speed of light?
Well, what about if you just perhaps move through time?
Through time.
Through time.
So you're saying, what you're saying?
I'm saying that we have the ability to bend, warp, and alter the state of time for travel and to do other things that we need deem necessary for us to survive as a species.
Now, okay, so by bending time, you're saying that we're able to go and... are you saying we can go like in the future or in the past? What are you mean? What are you?
I'm saying that we're able to travel through using the using time, linear time, as our advantage. Where I won't discuss about time travel and all that right now. I think that's a little too heavy for your audience. But let's just take little baby steps first.
Okay. Well, I could definitely preach baby steps. You know, because. You know, this getting deep, you know, I'm just saying. So, okay, so let's take baby steps. If I were to, Mr. Informant, if I were to believe what you're saying here, what you're telling me is that I can actually take a ride, let's just say a ride. I don't know what the ride would be in, you know, a spaceship or something. We'll take a ride from Los Angeles to, you said, Mississippi and Chicago and Australia and London, all these places, and back within 10 seconds or so. So how am I able to do this? I mean, I understand you saying, well, we're not using propulsion systems that I understand to be propulsion systems, but you're saying there's a new kid on a block, some sort of way we would travel through time.
Absolutely. The time way is the best way to travel. You know, when people say they've spotted these things in the sky, they're not lying. They're not lying. It reminds me so much of seeing the show Will Smith did, the movie Independence Day. Do you remember that movie? That movie, in that movie, they had the man that everybody laughed and picked at and thought he was a nutcase until, guess what? Until he said, I'm back. You remember that part where he said that?
I do. Actually, I do remember that.
Absolutely, man. He said, I'm back, and he went straight up in the aircraft carrier, straight up the alien. Oh, what? I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, man, you gotta watch it, because we have kids, you know, and younger people listening. But I got you. I understand where the airplane went, you know. Ooh. Sorry about that. See, God don't like ugly, y'all. So I got it. We got it. We understand what happened there. So what's going to tell you the truth? What's going to have us understand the truth? What will it take for us to understand the truth when it comes to alien technology, UFOs, if they exist? Because a lot of people don't want to believe it, but if they don't, a lot of people that do believe it, a lot of people that have seen things and that have witnessed things, and they won't believe it, they won't talk about it, because they don't want to be made, you know, fun of and so forth. So what do you say to that?
I say that they are in the state of denial, which is fine. Normally, that's the first stage. You know, the government, they want us to not believe. Not believe. So what they do first, they plant seeds of doubt. They make us birds. Oh, that was something else in the sky you saw. It wasn't a saucer. It wasn't a cigar-shaped, you know, vehicle or UFO or unidentified flying object. It wasn't a cigar shape, anything. You actually was tired. You worked too much and you needed to go home. You know, that's why you saw what you thought you saw.
Well, I guess working my fingers to the bones to do that, you know, but with that being said, why won't the government just come out and say there are things that we don't quite understand, And if we understood these things, we would let you guys know, but we're working as diligently as possible to get the answers to you.
Because they're afraid. They won't do it because they are afraid that if they don't have a control over whatever the situation is, then everybody go haywire. You're talking about Black Friday shopping. Really, people will go haywire. Did you see Orson Welles' War of the World?
Yes, I did.
Well, that right there was crazy, man. All because of a joke. They actually had panic in the USA and around the world because people thought aliens had really landed and they were running crazy, butt naked wild.
Well, yes. I mean, I do. Actually, the remake that Tom Cruise did was quite a good movie, actually. I thought it was quite good. It was long, you know, but had to get two or three things of popcorn there to watch it. But it was pretty good. You know, I liked it.
Well, yeah, but what I want you to understand is this monolith that they found in the desert of Utah, that thing is, it wasn't put there on purpose. It was put there for a direct reason. And the reason is they want us to know that they are watching and they can infiltrate our security systems and our radar systems and anything else we have that we think we can use to detect them or stop them. They can get around it.
So you're saying they. Who is they?
I'm talking about the aliens.
You're saying aliens.
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 Aliens. Oh, these little, I'm not talking about little gray men or green little men. I'm talking about aliens, other life form that are using certain vehicular means of getting through interstellar space travel.
So, okay. So this monolith that you are, okay. So what you're saying that this monolith that was found in the desert, you believe that this is some sort of spacecraft?
Absolutely.
Well, it looks really small to me. I mean, I don't think I could fit it. I mean, I know I eat a lot, but...
Well, you have to understand something. Listen, don't think two-dimensional, okay? What makes you think the new life forms that are out there are even our size? Okay, they may not even need physical bodies as we know to even exist. You understand what I'm saying to you, man?
Yeah, I can follow you. I can follow you.
So with that being said, they could also have sent, I'm not saying that was a spacecraft, but I am saying that that was a message in a bottle, basically, sent down to us.
But what do you think they're trying to relay to us as humans here?
That we're watching. That they're watching us.
Okay, so why don't they just land and, you know, I'll tell you what. I know a lot of friends. One of my friends actually called me. He said, hey, dude, can you come over here and help me mow this yard? And I'm like, what? Well, why don't they just land and burn some grass and just land and help mow some yards down? You know, come on.
Well, because it just doesn't work like that. You know, they want to make a statement. They want to prove to us that they are able, capable, and willing to do whatever they need to do to get our attention without authorities blocking them.
So you think it's more like who can pee the farthest, right?
Yeah, absolutely, basically. So what I'm trying to tell you is let's talk about rockets.
Rockets?
Rockets. Let's talk about some rockets.
All right, I'm listening.
Have you noticed that there have been a lot of rockets been launched lately and recently?
Yes, I have.
Well, this is because they are watching. They are watching us launch the rockets, trying to watch them.
Okay, so you...
What you say?
I'm confused. I am so confused. So you're saying they are watching us, watching them? I think they used to have a song like that somewhere. okay.
Listen. When the rockets launch down in Florida, if you go there, a lot of people have been there, man, and they tell me that they have seen what I know. Well, see, because I watch it on closed circuit television all the time. In my job and my position I have. And there are a lot of other extra, you know, how can I put it? There are a lot of other spacecraft watching and monitoring the nuclear or the rocket or whatever warhead or rocket they're launching. They have other little spacecrafts watching that. They're watching that.
So you're saying that they send their spacecraft to monitor our spacecrafts when they're lifting up from down in at the rocket center there in Florida?
Absolutely.
Okay, so why are they doing that?
They want to make sure that we're not setting up some sort of nuclear warheads and other things that can disrupt what they're doing out in space.
Okay. All right. So now this is really getting deep. Now, you know, you need to be careful because I don't want you to end up like Eric Snowden or anything like that.
Well, he's my friend. And I'm not going to end up like him because, you know, your staff, they disguise my voice. So no one really knows who I am. And I move around quite a bit, you know, so I'm okay with that. And I appreciate your concern about my safety and all. But, you know, I have to tell you that a lot of people need to understand that when those rockets go up in space, what goes up
must come down.
Absolutely. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. What goes up must come down. So a lot of those boosters and things like that, they come down now thanks to SpaceX and all these sort of things with controlled guidance back to the Earth. But a lot of times they would just sit up there and circle around and become space garbage, right?
Right. Now, I've heard about that. I've heard about space garbage. You know, I know about that now. Now you're on my level. I know about that. Well, you know.
Well, listen. Listen here. That, sometimes the space garbage will get caught up in the atmosphere and it'll burn and it'll fall back down to the Earth. And when you're down on Earth looking at it falling, you think you are seeing space. You're not really realizing what you're seeing. You think you're seeing falling stars, and that's what we call them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, when the streets across the sky like that, you know, I like those falling stars. You know, I like to wish upon a star, you know.
Well, I understand. But a lot of times, those are pieces of debris that kind of get caught up in the Earth gravitational pull and get stuck, and it gets sucked back down, right down to the ground, and it burns up. But sometimes those things you think are falling stars are actually spacecraft from other worlds that are entering the atmosphere, and they design them to come in to look like what we're used to seeing, falling stars. But then when they look like they burn out, they just engage in a cloaking field.
Now wait. You say a cloaking field, and that's something like a Star Trek cloaking field? Let me explain some to you. I understand about cloaking fields because I love Star Trek. You know, I'm telling you right now.
Well, good, because this will make sense to you then. When the spaceship engages its cloaking field, right, it disappears right before our eyes.
Okay, yeah, because it's blending in, it's bending light or something like that.
Absolutely correct. It's bending the light to make it disappear. It's right in front of us, but it's bending light to make it disappear in front of our eyes. And then some of those spacecrafts, they use other little tricks and things up their sleeve. The human eyes, we see at certain frequencies, but they have some tricks where we just don't see them because our eyes don't pick up the certain frequencies.
Okay, like ultraviolet light.
Absolutely, there you go. You're talking again, man. You're on top of this, man. You're on top of this. So, what I have to tell you is, when you think you saw something, you probably did.
So a lot of these people are saying, man, I saw something out there. I saw something out there in the sky. You're saying that they really did see something.
Absolutely. Some of them were man-made, and then some of them were theirs.
Now, hold it. What was theirs and what was man-made? I don't quite understand that.
Well, the spacecraft, we have reverse engineered a lot of their technology to make our own spacecraft as close as possible to theirs. They also have the original spacecrafts that fly, that do what they need to do. You follow me?
Okay. Okay, yeah, I gotcha. So, what does all this have to do with that monolith that was up in Utah that landed or that was planted or whatever it was?
Well, you just hit it. You had it right again, man. A lot of that is just a little bit of, how can I put it? A little taste as to what they can do. And every time they embarrass us, the government sends and rush in these little goons to pick up everything and try to clean it up.
Really? I mean, so like similar to Area 51 when the spacecraft crashed in Roswell, the government, they said that it was weather balloons. Am I right?
Absolutely.
And the weather balloon and what does it say? You know, it was something that fell. And a lot of people said that wasn't a weather balloon. And it wasn't just one. It was quite a few of them.
Absolutely. That, you know, a lot of people don't talk about that. But it wasn't just one crash there. It was quite a few, man. Quite a few spaceships. But I want to say, because I know you have to go and I have to run as well, but the monolith that was in Utah, I just want your audience to know. I want everyone to know that please keep your eyes open. Keep your head up. Look up to the sky. A lot of times, people outside, they're walking with their head level. Look up sometimes, and you may be amazed at what you may see.
Okay, well, I can definitely do that. I can definitely do that. Well, I look, Mr. Informant, I really appreciate you coming here today, and you always have a voice here at the table at Deja Vu, My Couch Life, you know, any of the podcasts, Darlings Do Die, the Tets for Vets coming out soon, and then we also have the Veterans Depot. You always have a voice here, and I want you to come on as a regular, because I really appreciate you informing my audience as to what's really going on. That's what I need to do. And it's very important.
Well, I know that you are an American prince and you have your connections, but I just wanted to be part of the team to let you know that we appreciate what you're doing, using your platforms to talk and educate people about what's really happening. A lot of people don't talk about it because they're too afraid. I appreciate you coming forth and you just using your platform to entertain and also just to let people know what's really going on, because we all need a little laughter and just also just a little lightheartedness. There's so much going on in this world, you know.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me because I do try. But I want to thank you again, Mr. Informant, for swinging by. And I had an email and I was trying to reach one of my other callers that wanted to talk to you, and her name is Karen, and yes, yep, Karen, she's everywhere. That's Karen. She wanted to talk to you.
Are you serious, man? That Karen? I don't know if I want to talk to her.
So, yeah. Well, she wanted to talk to you. I think I'm going to arrange for you and her to talk on our next show. So if you guys like, comments, subscribe, let me know, share. I really appreciate it. Tell me what you feel about this show today, and what do you think that monolith really was out there in the desert of Utah that mysteriously showed up, that caught the eyes of sheep herdlers from the air? You know, that's really different. I didn't even know they had a such thing. I guess it does make sense. You have such, you know, a lot of land, you have to count your sheep and animals or wild stock and so forth. And you just can't do it. You just can't do it by feet. You have to go up in the air to make sure you can see what you see. I guess it makes sense, you know. So I just never really thought about it like that, you know. So anyway, I want to thank you, Mr. Informant, for swinging by.
Anytime, man. And, you know, I just want to, I'm sorry about cutting you off right there, but I'm just excited to have you ask me to be part of the team, because I really like what you're doing, and I really want to bring your audience some good content, and I have a lot of things I want to discuss to you guys, secret beyond top secret content, and I just hope they're ready, man, because I'm going to let you guys have it and let you know what's happening out there.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, we're ready. Bring it on, brother. Bring it on.
on the American Prince Charles III. I want to thank you for swinging by, listening by, stopping by, however you got here by, you know, listening to Deja Vu today. And, you know, all this does sound familiar, like it's happened before.
Deja Vu.
But it probably hasn't. I'm not sure. I'm the American Prince Charles III. Thank you for listening to Deja Vu.
Somebody tell me this life that I'm living is real and not deja vu.